person, and it is wonderful to be here. Okay, let's see if I can get this contraption going. I'm the warm-up act. The problem is that usually Judy is much better at this than I am. So, anyway, so do I point to somewhere? Okay. Now, some of you know from before, we have four props to help you remember who we are. Judy always starts by saying we have, what's your words, Judy? Corny visuals. But corny visuals are good because they kind of stick in the brain and you go, oh, that's so lame, but I remember it. So we are the bowlers. So who are we? Well, let's see. Now, oh, we are the bowlers. So one time we were flying from Abbotsford to Toronto and we had this nice little thing in our hand luggage. They said, no, that's a dangerous weapon. You cannot put that in hand luggage. So we had to rush around and find our baggage and put it in. But I kind of like that because, you know, the bowlers are going to be a lethal weapon to the kingdom of darkness in Guinea. You're the bowlers. So if you just look at our boys there, the middle one in the red shirt is David. He's now going to third year university. The other one is Matthias. He's our oldest, 23 years old, and he is now working with an NGO in Oakville area in Ontario. Okay, Judy's going to help me here. Okay, and there, where do we work? We work in Guinea. Used to work in Dakar, but now we're in Guinea. Yay, Guinea. We haven't actually seen one of these there, but we have seen guinea fowl. I continue to travel to other countries in the region. Guinea-Conakry is the central arrow there, and then Liberia. A little while ago, I was right in this area. They had a massive conference. It was over 1,000 people. People from, pastors from all three countries, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea came together, and I was one of the featured speakers. It was really exciting. 1,000 people in an unreached nation. God is really doing some stuff. Yes, you can see where Guinea is in the this part of Africa. What is Guinea like? It's 85% Muslim, a very, very mountainous country. Senegal was flat like a pancake, but Guinea is heavily forested, heavily mountain. The biggest industry in Guinea or export is bauxite for aluminum. It's third biggest producer of bauxite in the world. So in terms of natural resources, Guinea actually has a fair bit of natural resources. However, they also have a lot of corruption and issues with that. There's a fair bit of unrest within Guinea, lots of riots, and they call it manifestation in French, and makes it interesting. The red dots are the unreached groups of Guinea. So you can see in this area, there's a clump of, is it going to work here? Okay, I don't know what happened there, but anyway, the clump of green dots towards the end is the forest people, which are animist, a lot of witchcraft, idolatry, and a lot of those over the years have become Christians, because if there's a power encounter between a spiritual force, an idol, and the kingdom of God, God always wins. So in that kind of context, people become Christians. The red dots are the Muslims. Muslims are traditionally very resistant to the gospel and very kind of encased in their own viewpoint. The heavy green dot right at Conakry, that's actually the white expat workers. They classify as a separate world group. I hope they're Christian because most of those are actually missionaries. Okay. This is Canada, just to give a contrast. Look at the green dots there versus the green dots there. The reds are the unreached, and there's one red group of Vancouver area, that's the Punjabis. The Abbotsford area, Langley area, has a very strong Sikh community and Punjabi community. But the contrast is huge. Now, what you mean by an unreached people group is someone that does not have a church within their own language, not enough Christians to actually reach out to people of their own ethnic group. So in Guinea, very few Christians. They say 85% Muslim, 14% animist, and the rest, 0.5%, something like that, would be Christian. Most of those would be Catholic because of the French background and influence. A lot of spiritual warfare, a lot of witchcraft. It's a much heavier place than Senegal was, even though Senegal was 95%. What do we do there? We do training. So we do, I travel within the region. I have my doctorate, so I work in Bible colleges. This is in Liberia. We always travel to different churches and preach. Every Sunday we're in different churches. This was a very exciting time because Judy had done an outreach here, teaching the ladies of this village to tie-dye material to get a little business. And as she was there, they prayed for the sick. And then a lady that had an issue of blood, you know, Judy shared that story from the Gospels and how Jesus healed a person. Well, there was a lady there with the same issue. And she stood up and they prayed for her. She was healed. There was also a lady there that had an eye issue, right? Difficulty seeing. She was healed. And it was quite exciting because they were doing their seminar and teaching the tie-dye, and all of a sudden this group of ladies erupted, started dancing and chanting in Serer, the local language, and the translator came up to Judy and said, "Do you know what they're saying?" She says, "No." He said, "They're saying Jesus healed me." So they're all dancing. Half of them are Christians, half of them Muslims. Everybody's dancing, right? Jesus healed me. And so they came back. They called Judy and said, "I want you to come back and preach." So we came back on a Sunday. And if you look carefully at the crowd, there's no men in the crowd. The Muslim village, the men have given permission for their wives and for the children to come, but the men themselves would not come. So I preached out of Exodus chapter 3, "Our God, the living God, is one who sees, hears, and comes down." And I started by saying, you guys already know this is true, right? Is there a lady here that was healed of the blood condition? Is she here? Yes, she put up her hand. Share the testimony, what God did. She shared. Is the person here that was healed with the eye condition? Yeah. Hey, get up and share. Then I taught on Exodus 3, and I said, now you guys know this is true, and now we're going to pray for the sick, and we're going to see God do stuff. So out of this crowd of, I don't know, 45 people, 20 of them were healed. They rushed to the front, and we prayed, and they rushed back. We had one of the few males there is that guy right by my shoulder. He's actually a young person from a neighboring village that came to help translate. He started off just calm, cool, and collected. And by the end, when he was helping us pray, he was so excited. He was jumping in there and laying hands on people and praying. We're going, yes, God. God acts, he moves. He's a God who sees, hears, and comes down. And our goal is that people in Guinea would discover that God. This is a picture from women's ministry. Judy is active in women's ministry within in Senegal, but now in Guinea. I'm helping to mobilize and teach ladies, train them. The literacy rate in Guinea is about 30%. Okay, that means that 70% of the people, males and females, cannot read or write. If you look at the difference between males and females, probably 20% of the ladies can read and write, and about 40% of the men. Okay, so literacy is very, very low. So one of the things we do a lot is schools. So in Guinea, Senegal, we had a total of about 15 schools, and in Guinea we have about 12. Most of them were started by the guy that was there before us. He was a missionary, the only missionary with POAC in the country for 25 years, but he died of a heart attack. And so that was 2014, and then we arrived last year. So we've taken over from him. You can see the one girl with the white headscarf. Like, these kids in the school are Muslim. But they're in a Christian school because we give them good quality education. And initially, even though they're resistant to the gospel, when they realize the love that's there among the teachers for them, their hearts open up. So many of these parents, after having their kids in the school for 1, 2, 3 years, will come back and say, "I want my kids to be in your school because I know the teachers love your kids, the kids, my kids." Love is powerful. And we actively pray for the sick. We're training people, equipping them. And one of the questions I have for you is, in an unreached country like Guinea, where the population is predominantly Muslim, how do you reach them? The way you reach them is having a gospel that's more than one dimension. You have a gospel that is three-dimensional. You have a holistic gospel. So what we try to do in Guinea is we hit them We find out what the needs are. We develop a strategy to meet that need so the love expressed in the gospel can be accepted and received. If I go into an area, or even if the Africans go into an area in Guinea and they preach the gospel, they'll be persecuted. They'll have stones thrown at them. If they go in and they're going to start a school, they're going to set up a clinic, they're accepted. The door is there. And over a period of time, you can plant a church when you start with the practical expression of love. So in Guinea, what we're doing is we're setting up ministries. The schools is one avenue of that. We have one clinic going on that was started by our previous guy, and we want to open up two more, but that takes money, right? We have the land. We have to put the buildings on the land. The schools are there. All the schools are on rented property. So we have to try to find a means to purchase property. It's not a good idea to give control of a Christian school to a Muslim landowner. You see the problem there? So we have to try to solve some of these issues, and we're working away on them. Our goal is to plant churches. I know, it's corny, but it's good. We plant churches. And the churches we're planting are little churches, because if you go in there and try to plant a big church, it gets attention in a context where people don't want Christians to be there because they'll persecute you. So the churches, most of them that we work on planting, at some point we go to a building and a structure, but most of them are like this. This is a church. It starts with a discovery Bible study where you gather people together that are interested in learning about the Word of God, and you do a little study, a discovery Bible study, discover the truths of the Scripture. And as you start with one, and then that have a group of maybe 5-6 people, 3 of them start a group. And of that group, maybe 2 or 3 start a group. And of that, 2 or 3 start a group. Before too long, you can have 20 and 30 little churches planted in people's homes, flying under the radar. And in a context where you will be persecuted, I mean, we just heard a story recently of a young person, about 20 years old, a lady came to the church in Conakry, in the city, was converted, was killed by her family. That's the recent news. It's not something that's, you know, decades old. That kind of thing happens where we are. But we also have other stories. Judy says, move along. She's got to preach. She's going to preach. So, you know, good for her. But anyway, I'm usually the preacher. See, she does this much better than I do. You know, anyway, planting. Is there this last slide? Yeah. Okay. Okay, now it's Judy's turn. So... left and the right there, okay?
Am I on now? Yeah, okay. He's a good preacher.
He is.
So we'll just wait till we get our next... one up here. We're just so delighted to be here. You folks have been such supporters of us, and we've just been so warmly welcomed here. It's quite amazing. The stories that you have just heard,
I forgot to mention the sign up for the
book. Okay, and that you're going to be hearing, these are your stories, okay? You are the ones who've made these happen. All of those of people who are donating, the churches that support us, we can't go and do it on our own. You know, we're just your representatives over there. So take it that way. It's not yay Phil and Judy Bowler. This is yay CLCF, right? CLF. These are your stories that you've made happen, and you can rejoice with us today, okay? And if you want to hear more stories, we have a sign-up sheet at the back. We send out very regular updates. We keep them really short, so they're not ponderous for you to get through, lots of pictures. And you'll be able to stay in tune and keep praying for us, because is it worthwhile for us to go over to Guinea if we don't have people here praying? Like, what are we thinking? It's a work of the Spirit. It's not a work of Phil and Judy Bowler, because we're pretty limited. But it's a work of the Spirit, and we need to have people praying for us. So please, please do that. We are under no illusion that we can do this on our own. All right. Message today is called Jesus Verbs. And the road to a miracle. So if you're looking for a miracle, we want to see a miracle in Guinea. Guinea's still that red dot. It's still an unreached people group. People unreached means people do not have access. Even if they want to go to church or even if they want to hear the gospel, they have no way of hearing the gospel from anyone. They don't know a Christian. Here in Canada, yes, we have lots of work to do. Yes, Canada has lots of unsaved people. But almost anyone in Canada can go and hear the gospel in their own language if they want to, right? People in Guinea don't have that opportunity, and that's why we're there. So, Jesus' verb, so on the road to a miracle. So, my goal today is, one, to show off my skirt. I couldn't decide which beautiful African fabric I wanted to wear. So I've got them all together here so you can see lots of African fabrics here in my skirt. And my other one is also to show something of what we do and how we think and how we process what we do in Guinea and how we're obeying Jesus there. But I think there's going to be something in here for you as a church, as individuals, to take away in the same way, okay? So I totally believe that the Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God. So the Spirit will be speaking to you as I preach today, okay? So be alert to that. And it's beautiful how it's different for so many, each person differently. Something will be highlighted in your mind. Something will stand out from what I'm saying, not because I'm great, but because the Spirit of God through the Word of God is great. So I want you to be aware of that even more than you're aware of me. Be aware of what He is speaking to you. And I'll be asking you later what it is that He's saying to you so that we can process together and you can come to the Lord about that. So today we're looking at the story of the widow of Nain. Okay, maybe a familiar story to you. And Jesus is walking about, and the scriptures here say soon afterward, I'll do this one, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. Can you imagine all that? Jesus is walking along. He's doing what He does. He's answering questions, dialoguing, explaining things. They're doing discipleship on the road, right? And as He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Not an unusual type of thing in that day and age. People died young. The death rate was higher. He's being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. She did not have CPP. She did not have OAS. She did not have a husband. She's a widow. Pretty desperate situation, and a large crowd from the town was with her. So what do we have here? We've got a large crowd with Jesus, all talking, involved, listening, and focused on Jesus. We've got another crowd that's coming out with this poor widow, and they're approaching each other there. Okay, so the scene is set. What's going to happen? And when the Lord saw her, His heart went out to her, and He said, "Don't cry." What I want to do is look at the verbs in this passage. And I want you to look at them. So I'm going to have you work here, because that's how I love to operate, is question and answer. Real happy in that kind of situation. And we're going to look and see, because we are disciples. We want to do what Jesus does, don't we? We want to copy Him. We want to be imitators of Him. We want to be like Him. So let's look at what He does. Okay, there's other verbs in here, but we want to look at what Jesus does here. What's the first verb that we see that Jesus, associated with Jesus in this passage? Verb is an action word. What do you see? He went, exactly. So there we see it. First verb is went. You know, and that says something to us. Jesus didn't sit in His home. He didn't sit in the synagogue. He didn't sit and just isolated from people with great wise and spiritual things to say. Jesus got out. He went. He went from heaven to earth, as the song goes, and I'm so glad he did, because he got me that way, and he got you. But he went, and he's still getting out and doing things. And you know, that's true for all of us. You know, I'm tempted, just like anyone else, to just, you know, kick back with Netflix or something, right? And I need to get out. Now you might say, oh, Phil and Judy, they went. They went to Guinea. But you know, every day that we're there, it's still a choice for us. It's still a choice. We still have, you know, reasons that we can stay indoors. You know, we can still say, I've got some computer work to do. I need to check my email. I need to whatever. And it's still a choice, and I make it consciously, and it drives from this passage and these verbs that you're going to see today. I still have to make the choice. No, I am getting out, and I'm going to go to the market. I'm going to be out among the people of Guinea and connect. So went is a choice for us. What's the next verb that you see? Approached, exactly. Oh, here's where we go. Yeah, I forgot that one. Guinea's full of a lot of garbage. Guinea's a very broken country, corrupt. A lot of things just don't work there. Not a lot of the niceties. And it has a huge garbage problem that they have not set control of. So when I get my choice to get out means I'm going to basically be walking through garbage. And there's not a lot of parks and green trees. It's a lot of broken cement. It's garbage. It's bad traffic. It's dangerous to walk along the streets. There's no sidewalks, really. But it's worth it, you know. He is worth it. He is worth it. And then we move to our next verb, which is approached, as it was pointed out here. So we're not just out there, but there's some intentionality. We're going places. We're not just sort of standing out there, but we're approaching. Jesus was involved, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Yeah, he got involved. He was never passive. He saw the Zacchaeus, and he was involved in the situations, and he approached. He was involved in life, real life, death, funerals, weddings. He was involved. And the next verb is saw. I love this one. This verse 13 is my favorite of the whole passage, maybe because it has three verbs in it. He saw. He saw. Don't you just love it that Jesus sees things? He saw the widow. And you know what? I believe if I was there, he would have seen me. And that's why I love him. Like, don't you believe that if you were there, he would have seen you? He saw Zacchaeus. If Zacchaeus was up in a tree, Jesus sees. And I love it that he does that. And I love it that he sees, but he sees not just with his physical eyes. You know, we have spiritual eyes too, right? Jesus always saw with his spiritual eyes as well. And he saw not just a widow, short, about 5'4". No, he saw into her heart. He saw into the circumstances. Jesus saw. And I want to be one who sees. Don't you? I want to be one that sees beyond the person with all the tattoos, or the one, the goth, or the, you know, that sees beyond the whole homelessness. And I want to be like that, that one that sees into hearts of people, into the desperation that controls their lives. I want to see into my Christian brothers and sisters and see with those kind of eyes. And I want to see into those that are non-believers and get past all my judgments, which I'm shocked at how many I have. So he saw. He was a Jesus who saw. And he then, I gave you the answer there. We'll move back. Okay, what's the next one? He was moved with compassion. And it does say his heart went out to her, but many other translations, it's actually a verb. Moved with compassion. It's a verb called splagidzomai or something. difficult to pronounce. And it means to almost be painfully moved with compassion. Have you ever had a compassion like that? I think we've all felt that. Sometimes it almost hurts inside of us. And that's what it was for Jesus. The compassion he had wasn't just, ooh, sentimentality. No, he was deeply moved. This is the same word, splegizomai, that's used by Luke to describe the prodigal, the feelings of the father towards the prodigal son. It's the same word that's used of the good Samaritan when he saw the need on the side of the road. Deeply moved with compassion. Oh, and that Jesus, when he saw, he not only saw with his spiritual eyes, but he felt deeply. And you know what? When I'm in Guinea, the needs are overwhelming. We see the blind. We see the people with no legs and no wheelchairs or crutches pulling themselves along on the ground. You know, we see the people with no health care. 97% of women in Guinea have been excised. Abortion rate, almost 75% of women would have had an abortion. Families are broken. Witchcraft. The needs can be overwhelming. The people that just need some cash. And I can almost want to close my heart down and steal it, and feeling that's the best way to cope with it. But it's not. It's not. Because I know my Jesus, I can keep my heart soft because he's the one that holds my heart. So I let myself feel again, and I take it to him. And this is so instructive to me. Do you know what I mean about wanting to close your heart down? Yeah, like it gets overwhelming. All the news that you're faced with all the time, we want to close our hearts down. But I think God is calling us to trust our hearts to him and let ourselves feel and take those things to him in prayer. So as we follow him in his verbs. What's the next verb we see here? He said. So Jesus not only gets out and approaches and sees with his spiritual eyes and lets his heart feel deeply about the situation, but he speaks, he connects. He's close enough so that he can speak to that person, right? And isn't that the same with us? Can we just take it one step further that we feel, but then we get involved and we actually begin what is the beginnings of a conversation, right? I find this so helpful to keep taking me on the path to being like Jesus. And this is what I love to do in Guinea. So I want to get out there and I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? I'm walking on the street and my list says tomatoes, peanut butter, and some onions. But Lord, I want to change my focus. I want to see the people that are around me here in the market. What are you doing? Let me feel again for that woman who's walked all day in the blazing sun to sell her few little bananas on her head. And then I try to take it one step further and start a conversation. Hi, how are you? How's it going? I'll buy your bananas. I don't need bananas. They weren't on my list, but I'm going to buy bananas from you because I can't imagine walking all day with bananas on my head and a baby on my back in the blazing sun. And I want to lighten your load a little bit. So he says to her, he speaks into the situation, and he says, don't cry. Now, why do you think he would say don't cry? He cried. He cried when Lazarus died. Why would he say, don't cry? It's not wrong to cry. Any ideas? He knew what was going to happen. He was going to help her. He knew what was going to be ahead. Now, you know that Jesus could do nothing, right? Did you know that? Bible says Jesus could do nothing except what he saw the Father doing. So Jesus was always looking, Father, what are you doing? What are you already doing ahead of me? I'm going to follow that. He could do nothing except what he saw the Father doing. So I personally think it was at this point in this verse, verse 13, where Jesus caught sight of what the Father was doing and what the Father wanted to do. That's what I think. Aha! Okay, Father wants to do a miracle here. He wants to do a raising from the dead. All right. So, widow, don't cry. Does that make sense to you? I'm just doing conjecture here. It's not in the scripture. But I think that's what happened. Because John 5:19 can only do what I see the Father doing, says Jesus. Next scripture. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying the young man on that was dead. And the bearer stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, get up. I find that funny. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. Wow. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wow, we're seeing the miracles come here. But do you see the precursors? Do you see the road? Do you see it? It begins with something we can all do. We can all go. We can all see with spiritual eyes. We can all let our hearts feel again. And then, what's the next verb? Yeah, he went up and touched. So Jesus is speaking, and now he's getting even that more close to the situation. And he's touching it. And there's something about touch, right? There's just something about touching another person. You know, the Penhalls welcomed us into their home, and we'd never met them before, and they had a hug for us. What? You know? We're really welcome here. And, you know, there's something about touching the situation. Jesus didn't know, maybe he did, what the young man died of. It could have been contagious. But Jesus touched the situation. He's taking it that one step further into connection and into involvement there. So he got up and he went and he touched. And, you know, when I go to the market, we pass by the city hall, basically. And in front of the city hall are the beggars that are licensed and permitted to be official beggars. Many of them are albinos. Albinos can have a very difficult time in Africa. Some countries, they're stolen and cut up and sacrificed as some sort of magic. And they have to really watch. In Malawi, they have to really watch their albino children, especially, that they don't get stolen away. Guinea, it's not quite so bad. But still, they have a very hard life, especially because they're often blind. Now, you can see this woman right here. She looks this is a stock photo I got from Google, but she looks a lot like my friend. And they made me afraid at first, to be honest, to be really frank. The albinos, I just hadn't met albinos before, and I didn't know how to relate, and there's a whole bunch of them there, and I had to say, Jesus loves these people. I am not going to walk on the other side of the road. Phil really was saying, Judy, we have to get involved. He was my so we get involved. So I began to talk and speak. It was this scripture that was in my mind here, this whole scripture of moving closer and closer. So now I have one of them, it's my friend, and she has a little baby, a little black baby named Mustafa, and he's my little buddy now, so I buy little presents for him. But they did make me nervous, but I got close, and I got that little Mustafa. And he's my little baby now, and I go past and look for him. He's not always there. we want to get close, touch, even when it's hard. And the next verb is, again, after went up and touched, said again. That's right. So once again, Jesus spoke, and there's the miracle. And there's the miracle. Jesus is listening. But doesn't it make it seem doable? If I just think this is a story about Jesus doing a miracle, I go, well, Jesus does miracles. That's beyond me. But when I see this progression, I think I can do all of that, and I can expect a miracle as I listen to the Lord. And we do expect a miracle. Does that make sense? Next, there's one more verb here. He gave him back. You know, isn't that cool? Jesus could have said, hey, young man, now come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Right? He's done that before. So but he didn't. He gave him back to his mother. And the reason why? Because the goal wasn't his own glory. His goal was to help a poor widow lady. And he stayed with that goal. So I have to always remember to give it back to Jesus. The healings we've seen, the miracles, the people set free, deliverance. We're giving that back into the situation where it belongs, so that we stand back from receiving glory for ourselves, and so that he gets the glory and the situation gets the improvement that it needs. So we'll just leave our scripture. We'll take it up a little bit later there, and we gave it back. Okay, that's good. Okay, that's good. And you've got a little glimpse of Guinea, but even more practical, Phil and Judy, how do you do that in Guinea? How do you do that? Well, here's some ways. I made a promise, and we made a promise before we went to West Africa, is that we would only do what the Father was doing. We wouldn't do our own thing. Oh, that I think we should start a school. No, we want to look and see what the Father's doing and work with what the Father is already doing and follow behind him. So we made a commitment to the Lord that that's how we would operate. So what have we seen the Father doing since we've got to Guinea? Okay, you know that we were 15 years in Senegal before we went to Guinea. How are you following Jesus in Guinea? Well, this has mostly been Phil that's been involved in this. It's been something that has just dropped in our lap. We've seen the fruit. We've seen Jesus work and set people free. We've done a lot of physical healing in Guinea, and we still do that. We've still seen lots of people healed. But the emphasis has now become more on deliverance, especially since animism is such a big deal in Guinea. So we've got something that's called Soul Care. And the two white guys that you see in there are missionary colleagues with the Alliance Church. And so I love it that we're partnering together with other missions. And some of the other that you see are some of our national church leaders that we love to bits. And the man in the white in the center is just saying, I've got some things I have to confess that I've never confessed to anyone. And I want to confess those and become free. And that's what he's doing. And so the actual focus of the picture is the man in the white shirt. And he's actually one of our pastors. That's what Soul Care is about. It's about seeing the light of Jesus come upon the dark places in people's hearts. Places that they've never had a chance to even share with people. Abuse and oppression and sin and bitterness. And to get free of all of that and come into the glorious light and freedom of Jesus. And we're seeing amazing fruit from that, and we're amazing invitations. We could almost go full time with doing Soul Care alone in Guinea, because people are saying, I've never had a chance to share any of this with people. And wow, one man said to Phil, after Phil ministered to him, it started already. I'm free. I'm free. The fear is all gone. I'm free. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Yeah. So, Phil, we've got all our national leader, that man in the check on the left is our national leader for the Alleluia Churches of Guinea, and that's our who we work with mostly. That's the PAOC's work there. He said, I want all of our pastors to go through this and all of their wives. And if somebody can't attend, he goes, well, you have to go to the next one then. And no, your wife's not there? Okay, well, you have to go and do it again when your wife is there. These husbands and wives are sharing things together that they've never shared to a level they've never shared ever in their lives before. It's wonderful. But pray for this. The Father is working to set people free. We're following behind him, and we need you to follow with us to pray for that. Beginning of September, Phil's going to be, again, we're going to go right out into the forest area where animism is really powerful and do this conference again with our pastors from there. So we need you praying for that. We need breakthrough there. So what else is the Father doing? It's these little tiny SD cards that maybe you've put in your phones. You can put them in a small adapter and listen. On that tiny, well, on a tiny SD card, you can put the entire New Testament in national languages. Now, you can imagine if 70% of people in Guinea can't read or write, how can you make disciples if people can't read a Bible? And even if somebody reads it to them, that Bible is in French, which they don't speak very well. So how can you make disciples? That's what we're supposed to do, go and make disciples of all nations. How can you make a disciple if they don't have Bibles? Well, now they have Bibles. In their own national languages, the whole New Testament and other teaching materials can be put on that. And then you can put that in your phone and listen that way. And so you see these guys just have put it in their phones and they're being able to listen in their own language. It's dramatized, the doors close, the birds sing, there's music in the background. It's very engaging and it's in their own language. So now they have Bibles. So I'm very active in doing that. You can see the man on the left there. He's like, wow, very interesting. Now, okay, it's good for Christians to become disciples, but Muslims go crazy for these things because they put it in their phone. Nobody knows what they're listening to with their earbuds in, and they can be listening to the New Testament all day long and various other teaching materials. It's so effective for evangelism. We go through hundreds and hundreds of those things. And you can also buy one of these for around $7 in the markets and put your SD card here and groups can listen together. So one of our pastors, he puts it on when they're home and he turns the volume up so his neighbors can hear. And he says, my neighbors, suddenly, clink, 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 they're all cooking. Suddenly, no more clink, 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 clink. He knows they're listening because he comes from a Muslim background himself. So these are just, the Father is doing something with these. And so we're following with him. Child Care Plus. Our child sponsorship program. Does anybody here sponsor a child with Child Care Plus? Yes, one. Praise God. And anybody else? Yes, good. You can sponsor a child from Guinea. And we would love it if you did that. Isn't she cute? And that's one of our children. I think she still needs a sponsor. I just have to check. And here's another cute little boy. And these are really needy kids, probably from Muslim background, Muslim homes, that get to go to school because of a Child Care Plus sponsorship. Or at least we hope that they can go to school. And the Father is doing something. Our national church is now wanting to really work with this and go and get the most needy children. They want to go out into the highways and byways around our schools and find the most needy children who aren't going to school at all and really get involved in their lives. And we can see a country changed when we change the youth. I'd encourage you very much, $41 a month to sponsor a child And make sure you specify Guinea. Another place where the Father is working is what we call discovery groups. And this is going crazy. It's a method, a very simple method of studying the Bible orally, but it's simple, but it's profound at the same time. 5 basic questions. Let's find out about God. Those discovery groups become small churches, as Phil mentioned, and gather together under mango trees, in courtyards, in homes, in staff rooms at their work, and they become churches. And you can see here in the yellow, it's marked those 5 people were tasked by the yellow guy at the top with starting some groups. So one of them started 4, another one 3, another one 2, and then those groups started groups, and those groups started groups, and 200 groups. This is not Guinea, but this is what we're dreaming of. This is what we want to see happen. There's 200 groups there represented. It probably took a while, maybe 5 years, to reach that 200 church level. But that's the kind of thing that's happening. You might not know it around in the Muslim world right now. That is absolutely unprecedented, the numbers of Muslims coming to Christ right now. Since the year 2000, more Muslims, the year 2000, 19 years ago, more Muslims have come to Christ than in all the previous times since the death of Muhammad. And it's movements like this that are multiplying and multiplying and multiplying all in every corner and every pocket of Islam around the world. There's stories of whole mosques coming to Christ. There's stories of jihadists with their munitions belt studying the Bible in these discovery groups together. The stories go on, and they're phenomenal. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to Muslims like never before. Why? Because people have been praying for the 1040 window. Have you heard of the 1040 window? Yes. The unreached people, that window where most of the unreached peoples of the world are. People have been praying, and now we're seeing amazing things happen. Prayer changes things. And so that's what we're dreaming of. That's what we're dreaming of. We're starting these discovery groups. People are getting excited. And then I had to come back for a little bit, but we're so excited. I can hardly wait to get back to Guinea and continue with what God is doing in that line. Those are just a few of the things that we're doing there. Just a few. We didn't want to go on and on and on. We already have gone on and on and on. But God is alive. He's doing things. Yes, we're on a downturn here, Canada and the U.S. Christianity's seen downturns before. All right. But in the rest of the world, it's electric what's happening. There's countries that are crossing off Islam as their national religion and changing it and writing Christianity. Iran is one of the hot spots. It's amazing. It's amazing. Indonesia, that's another one. Indonesia. The movements that are happening there are astounding. I could go on and on. Anyways, so we have a dream, and we're sharing our dream with you. Our dream is to work with the Holy Spirit in what he's doing. Our dream is to see this kind of multiplication here. We have, you can give towards it. We have inherited a building that is half completed. We'd like to complete that building, and we'd like to train pastors so that they can go out and do this kind of work. We want our pastors more evangelists, more missionaries, Ghanaian missionaries. We can't do it ourselves. I'm 66. Yeah. 67 in December. And Phil's 58. So we need to invest in our Ghanaian brothers and sisters. And they're the ones that are the near culture, and they're the ones that are going to reach their people. So what our dream is to really develop this property that we have so that it can become a place that produces multiplication. We want to have a clinic there as well so the community comes in. We'd like it to be a maternity clinic so that we can continue with people. We can get babies off to a really good start and reach out to the community that way. It all takes bucks, and we're absolutely not ashamed to say, well, it's not for us. It's for the people of Guinea. It's so that the lost can be reached. It's so that the world can be changed. Because you know what? I have not seen anything more effective against radical Islam in this world than the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the money the U.S. is putting towards it, no, that's all good, sure. But I haven't seen anything change lives like the gospel of Jesus Christ is changing lives. And if you hate radical Islam, and I hope you do, don't hate Muslims because they are really, usually really nice people. But if you hate radical Islam, I'd say throw yourself, throw your prayers, throw your money into seeing God come and change lives in the way that he loves to do it. So, Holy Spirit's been speaking. Let's just reflect. I don't want you going away saying, oh, Judy was a good speaker, or bad, or mediocre, or whatever. But I want you to go away with what God has said to you. So what, just process it, you don't have to tell me. You can if you want. What stood out to you? What pricked in your heart about all that you've heard? The Jesus verbs, the projects. I want you to think about that. And just keep thinking, processing while I finish up here. This is the end of the scripture. The results of what Jesus did, they were all filled with awe and praised God. And said, a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. That's what they said when they saw that miracle that came out of all those steps. They said, a great prophet has appeared among us. Well, they weren't. Their theology was a little bit off. Jesus was more than a great prophet. Muslims will say that Jesus was a great prophet. Yeah, but they're on their way. They were on their way after they saw that miracle. God has come to help his people. Don't you want that? Don't, Pastor, isn't that what you want to see? That church there? I know. God has come to help his people. Don't you want to be known as that? People see your lives and say, I can see God has come to help his people. Or see the ministries that you do. There. And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Revival. It spread. And that's what you want to see. I know it is, right? It's what you long for. It's what you pray for here. It's what all the other churches pray for too. Because we want everyone to know this beautiful Jesus that we have. So, there we go. What was the Holy Spirit saying to you? What stood out to you? Maybe it was, I think for somebody, it was, God sees me. Maybe there's a widow here, recently widowed, and God sees me. In my desperation. Maybe he's saying to you, I can get out of my bubble. Or I think there's some of you, God put in your minds a certain group of people that you've felt the Holy Spirit urging you towards, and you've been kind of not sure. Anybody fit into any of those categories? Yeah? Yeah. We want to be those that are doers of the word and not hearers only, right? So what is he saying to do about what you've heard today? To go, get out. Anybody else want to vocalize what they're hearing?
The power of team.
The power of team, yeah. He was together. Yep. Yep, working together as a team. What else? These ones aren't shy, Pastor.
Yeah?
To start somewhere.
That's right. To just start. Anybody here that they need to use their spiritual eyes? Anybody? Somebody heard that? Yeah. Yeah.
Praying for the First Nations people in Canada, especially in the they have third world conditions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Prime Minister still didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm praying for.
Absolutely. Yep. Praying for a work of God among our First Nations people that they can say, God has come among us. Yeah. Yeah, it's a big work. Bless you, brother. Mm-hmm.
My interest was piqued by your mention of the discovery groups.
Uh-huh. Let's talk some more. I tried it out with some white people in Abbotsford. I was amazed at how well it worked. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's take to the Lord what He has been speaking to us already. Lord, we come to You. It's You that's been speaking by Your Holy Spirit. And we want to be people who put Your word into practice this week. Because we want to be changed. We don't want to be the same as we have been. So Lord, come. And right now, each of you, make your commitment to the Lord. Tell Him how you're, interact with Him about this. How you want to respond. Make a plan so that it doesn't get sabotaged by lunch plans or whatever. Lord, we do want to respond to You. We want to be doers of the word. We want to be those that are transformed by Your word. So come, come, come. I'll lead into ministry. Okay. Some of you, so be saying your words to the Lord. Some of you were piqued and by the story, Phil's stories of healings. And you thought, I think maybe today is my day. Faith just rose up in you. Come forward for prayer. We're here to minister. That's what we do. It's our life. Some of you have been battling with areas and you know you're not free. And you want to be able to say, I'm free, I'm free, it's gone. We'd love to pray with you. It won't be messy. Jesus is not messy when He sets people free. It's very lovely and very quiet. So feel free, just come forward right now. If your faith has risen for prayer, Phil, do you have some words?